So we turn our Bibles to Luke chapter 19 for our message this morning. Luke chapter 19. And I'd like to speak on the person of Zacchaeus. And we could easily call this passage a case study in conversion. Sometimes we hear stories of people who say they were converted to the Lord, and then we look at their lives and we question whether or not they truly trusted the Lord. And certainly it's important to make that commitment to the Lord, but one of the major evidences, despite struggles people may have in their lives, is that they make a clear profession of faith in Christ. And then there's some evidence of a change in that person's life. And in Luke chapter 19, we have a wonderful example here of a person who came to know the Lord Jesus as his personal Savior. His name is Zacchaeus, and his story can be found in verses 1 through 10. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Now behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus who was a chief tax collector, and he was rich. And he sought to see who Jesus was, but could not because of the crowd, for he was of short stature. So he ran ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was going to pass that way. And when Jesus came to that place, he looked up and saw him and said to him, Zacchaeus, make haste, come down, for today I must stay at your house. So he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. But when they saw it, they all complained, saying, he has gone to be a guest with a man who is a sinner. Then Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, look, Lord, I give half of my goods to the poor, and if I have taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, for because he also is the son of Abraham, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. And God certainly will add his blessing to the reading of his word. Perhaps we can commit this time then to the Lord in prayer. Our Father and our God, we do ask that your Holy Spirit would direct thoughts to the hearts of each one in this audience. Lord, we come together as a group of your people with various concerns and various cares upon our hearts and in our lives. And we ask that from the message spoken this morning and from the words ministered from your word, that you would soothe and that you would put the balm that is needed on each person's heart and life. We ask, Father, that your Holy Spirit would address the needs of each person's heart in this audience. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. Well, it's quite an interesting story. I think most of us are very familiar with this story, especially from our Sunday school days. Now, I didn't have that privilege when I was young. I did not grow up in a Christian home, and so therefore didn't have that Sunday school background that so many people do have. And this is quite a familiar account for many people who had a Sunday school background. This short little fellow named Zacchaeus who climbed up into a sycamore tree. A lot of the Sunday school programs will have this picture of the man who's up in this tree, and as Jesus is passing by, he looks up and calls Zacchaeus out of the sycamore tree. And it's a wonderful story of a conversion of a man who was of a dubious distinction. We often sing that hymn, what a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart. I have light in my soul for which long I have sought, since Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart, since Jesus came into my heart, floods of joy o'er my soul, like the sea billows roll, since Jesus came into my heart. And that's certainly, indeed, the testimony of anyone who's truly trusted the Lord Jesus as Savior. Peter, writing in his epistle, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, says this, "For you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." I remember thinking of this verse when I was invited to a friend's house down in Tennessee, and he invited a group of us to go spelunking. Now, spelunking is a fancy long term for cave exploring. And I'd never been in the cave before, and so this was the first time I was ever going to do this. And as we descended into that cave, I remember going down, and it was dark, but you couldn't see very well, but you could still see. But as you got a little further down into that cave, it got absolutely pitch dark, except for, of course, our flashlights that we held on to very closely to make sure that we wouldn't drop these. Our guide said to us, just to show you how dark it is, why don't you turn your flashlights off? And all of us together turned our lights off. And I put my hand right in front of my eyes, and I could not see. It's as if I didn't have any eyes at all. And it was dark. And so a couple times during our little adventure, our journey, I call it, to the center of the earth, it wasn't that far. But as we went into that cave and went further down, it was certainly dark and it could be frightening if you didn't have any light at all. But I remember as we came back out of that cave, when we came into the full blaze of the sunshine, I said, boy, how bright this is. And that's, I think, the metaphor here that Peter is using in this chapter, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. That person who's been in darkness, spiritual darkness, trusts Christ the Savior, it's like coming out of darkness, pitch darkness, into God's marvelous light. Paul, writing to the Corinthians, said in 2 Corinthians 5:17, you are a new creation. All things are passed away. All things become new. So we step out into the light when we trust Christ the Savior, and old things pass away, all things become new. And not only does our relationship with Christ change, we trusted Him and we have a relationship with God now that we never had before. But God says, I look at everything that ever happened to you in the past, everything that you ever did, and that's all wiped away and forgiven. You know, in this account with Zacchaeus, we have a wonderful story of a man who falls right into this category. Very dubious distinction, very bad background, bad reputation. And Christ came into his sphere, and he touched Zacchaeus spiritually, and Zacchaeus was a new person. And it's a wonderful story. That's why I call it a case study in conversion. Now, it's interesting how the story breaks down. I guess in verses 1 and 2, we could see the character of Zacchaeus. A little bit of a focus on the character of Zacchaeus. In verse 1, it says that Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Now, that may not seem to say a lot to you, but for us to understand what that meant for the Lord Jesus to pass through Jericho speaks volumes, especially anyone of that day who understood the background of Jericho. If you recall, Jericho was the very first city that Joshua conquered when he brought the children of Israel into the Promised Land. And they circled around that city 7 times on the last day, and of course every day of the week for 7 days, once at least for the first 6 days. And on that last day, the shout came, and God allowed those walls to fall down flat. And Jericho was taken by the children of Israel. And God said to the nation of Israel, don't ever build this city again. He wanted to make a statement that this city had been condemned. It was a Canaanite city. It was pagan all the way. And God said, I don't want anybody to build on it again. And yet, we turn the pages in the Old Testament, and we see that someone in the nation of Israel did rebuild it at the loss of the firstborn. That was what God said. Don't ever rebuild at the loss of your firstborn. So any God-fearing Jew, any Hebrew person who had some semblance of interest in the things of God would have looked at Jericho and said, that is a bad place with a bad reputation. It has been rebuilt against God's orders. And yet that is where Christ was going in to have this contact with this person, Zacchaeus. That speaks volumes. It tells us something of the character of Zacchaeus, who was a Hebrew. His name, Zacchaeus, is a Hebrew name. And yet he was living in Jericho. In other words, he had no interest in the things of God. And this is the very person that Christ was going to come in contact with. It also tells us a little bit about the Lord, or a lie, I should say, about the Lord Jesus, who is willing to go into any area to seek whoever was lost, as the verse 10 reminds us. So we have the love of God here portrayed in the Lord Jesus, the seeking Savior going into a place that certainly wasn't a place that any God-fearing Jew would even call home, or their own town. And that's exactly where Zacchaeus resided. So Zacchaeus has a very dubious character that we see even from that quick verse and reference to Christ entering and passing into Jericho. But we're also told in verse 2 a little bit more about the character of Zacchaeus. It says here, "And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus who was a chief tax collector, and he was rich." Now, a tax collector in New Testament times, in the King James Version, is called a publican, was someone who was a Jew who worked for the Roman government. You see, the Roman government was the occupying force in the nation of Israel at the time. They had conquered it. And under the rules of the Pax Romana, if you recall from your world civilization days in high school, that was when Rome came in and they occupied, but they allowed the people to rule as they wanted within the confines of the Roman Empire. And so they gave them the freedom to operate as they would. But people still had to pay taxes to Rome. And so in order to accomplish this, they would often inscript or they would hire someone of the nation of Israel to collect taxes from their own people. They didn't want to risk losing one of their own soldiers or one of their own countrymen, these Romans. And so they would hire, or they would allow for purchase this position. And someone who had the money would purchase the position or the privilege to go around as a Jew to collect taxes from his own people. Now, what would you think if you were a Jew living in that day? One of your own countrymen collecting taxes from you for the enemy occupying force. You see, Zacchaeus was very much despised. He wasn't looked on with favor amongst his own countrymen, his fellow Jews. And so certainly he was a despised individual. That gives us another insight into the character of Zacchaeus. And so right from the outset of this story, we have a very clear picture of who Zacchaeus is. He's a despised individual who's living in Jericho, and he probably has no interest in the things of God, otherwise he wouldn't be living in Jericho. And he is working for the enemy, the Roman government. And I'm sure every time that he went around to that place, to a home, and collected taxes, and a person had to reach into their pocket or whatever they did to pay the taxes, they grumbled and they murmured as they gave the money to their own countrymen, who would then in turn turn a portion over to the Roman government. Why do I say a portion? Because a lot of times the tax collectors would charge over and above or collect over and above what they actually needed to collect from the Roman government to get back some of the money that they invested in the purchase of that position. And so they would often line their pockets, as sometimes government officials are known to do. And so he was hated. And the fact that he was rich tells us that he probably did this. And because he was a chief tax collector, he had people working underneath him. Somewhat of a pyramid idea here. Gives us tremendous insight into the person of Zacchaeus. And that's the type of person that God is interested in saving. That's the type of person God is interested in changing their lives because of the way that God can get the glory. You know, there's some people, I think, in our experiences that we think that God cannot save, and yet it's often one of those things that God just does it in a wonderful way. Somebody you think will never get saved, and all of a sudden you hear that they've trusted Christ as Savior. Being out of high school now for a number of years is quite interesting. Every now and then I bump into someone who I went to high school with and wasn't really close to necessarily, but I knew that individual, and sometimes they had a very bad reputation in high school or just a partier type of reputation, whatever it might be. And 10 or 15 years later, you're walking in a department store or for some reason your paths cross. And all of a sudden you find out this person became a Christian. And they're going on for the Lord in a wonderful way. And you say, only God can do that. How a person would be the furthest away from becoming a Christian, you would think in your mind. That was the case for that person. And yet to see them, that they've become Christians, it's a wonderful thing. And God loves to do these things in people's lives. And here's an example right here of Zacchaeus. Of a person that God would change, Christ would change. Well, that's the character that we have of Zacchaeus. In verses 3 and 4, we have the concern of Zacchaeus. Now, don't forget, this is Christ initiating this contact. The seeking Savior going into the sinful city. and seeking out this man, Zacchaeus, in Jericho. But on the other hand, Zacchaeus' heart was prepared. And we read that in verse 3. We get that reading between the lines. Verse 3. It says that he sought to see Jesus, who he was, but could not because of the crowd, for he was of short stature. He was a little guy. And so verse 4 says he ran ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was going to pass that way. Zacchaeus had a concern to see who the Lord was. He perhaps heard stories about this person, Jesus of Nazareth, that he healed people, he did miracles, and he heard he taught great things about the kingdom of God. And so he was interested in finding out for himself who this Jesus was. That's exactly how it says. He sought to see who Jesus was. He was interested in a first-hand account, not a second-hand account. And that's a wonderful principle that we see in life as well. There are a lot of people that have gotten their information about the Lord Jesus from second-hand accounts. But a person who is seeking the Lord, truly interested, wanting to find out who the Lord Jesus is for themselves, is a person that's going to have a changed life. I remember hearing a story about Albert Schweitzer. You remember that story, the great philanthropist from the early 1900s? It says he was seeking the historical Jesus. I think that was the name of the book that he began to write. And he was not a believer. Some doctor he was. I'm not quite sure exactly what field of medicine he was in, but he was a doctor. And he sought to find out who the true Jesus was. The result, after all his search, looking through the Bible, he trusted Christ as Savior. And you know, from time to time you hear people saying, well, I'm an agnostic, I'm an atheist. I don't believe the Bible, I don't make any pretense in believing anything about the Bible. Yes, then did you ever read the Bible? No. Never checked it out. But those who truly are seeking will find the Lord. And that's what we see here with Zacchaeus. His heart was prepared. Christ was coming into Jericho. Zacchaeus was prepared in that way because he sought to see Jesus, who he was. But it says he couldn't because of the crowd, and so he was small. He ran up into a sycamore tree to see the Lord as he was going to pass that way. Now that tells me at least three things as we look at that verse and we consider it, just reflect on it. What does that tell me? What does it tell you? Well, it says one thing, that money does not satisfy the deepest longings of the heart. You see, Zacchaeus was rich. And someone who was rich could have said, who cares about Jesus? I got all that money, my heart could wish, all that money could buy. I'm rich. Now, not every tax collector, by the way, was rich. Only those that had little scruples, had less conscience about things, and were able to skim off the top even more. That's the person who was rich. The schemer, the conniver, that's the person that was rich in the tax collecting industry. And that's what Zacchaeus was. But he wasn't satisfied with what money could buy. Fame, fortune, friends, all these things. He wasn't satisfied with that. That's why he was interested in seeing who Jesus was. And so that tells us then that money does not satisfy the deepest longings of the heart. And yet when you watch the television set, when I watch the television set, we see the commercials, we see the programs, the promos for movies, you would think the greatest thing in this world is to be rich, according to what we see in the advertisements for films and for television programs and all that. God says it's an empty shell. God says there's not anything to these riches. It's like what they say in the Constitution or the Independence. God has given this ability, the freedom to follow after the pursuit of happiness. And it's just a chase. It's like those little bubbles, you know, when the kids have these little bubbles and they're blowing the bubbles and they're going and try to catch them, and as soon as they touch them, they pop. And that's how it is with riches. And I do want to say from this platform, if there is any in this audience who are thinking that you are going to find fulfillment in your career and make lots of money and get big items and lots of possessions, God says our life does not consist in the things that we possess. Only the Word of God can give you true satisfaction. When the Lord Jesus was with his disciples, John chapter 6, he said, "Don't labor for these things that don't satisfy. I am the bread of life. He who eats of me will never hunger. He who drinks of me will never thirst." That's true satisfaction. Zacchaeus was rich, but that money couldn't satisfy him. You know, I read a very interesting story one time, and I could hardly believe it was true when I read it, but it's documented. It says when they exhumed the coffin of Charlemagne, you know, the French ruler Charlemagne, they opened that coffin up, and they found Charlemagne's skeleton in there, and a Bible. And the finger of Charlemagne was pointing to an open Bible. Mark chapter 8, verse 36. "What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul?" Apparently, the servants, when they buried him, or whoever did it, the undertaker, whatever it was, put that Bible in there and fastened his finger right to that verse to show the emptiness of riches. And you see, here Zacchaeus was proof that riches do not satisfy the deepest longings of the heart. Another thing that we learn from this section as we read between the lines is that nothing will stop a person from truly seeking the Lord. Notice that it says here that the people got in the way. The old King James Version says the press prevented him. Jokes are made about that. The media likes to prevent a lot of things, doesn't it? The press. But the idea is the crowd pressed him out. He was short of stature, and the crowd pressed him out. And he couldn't see, but he was interested and diligent in finding out who the Lord was. You know, and sometimes people do get in the way of a person who's seeking the Lord. Maybe family members, with family pressures upon an individual who's really indicating and expressing some spiritual interest. Unsaved family members who have their own idea and own persuasion about spiritual things will try to prevent somebody. Or work associates may try to ridicule a person who's showing spiritual interest. Or neighbors or friends, whatever it might be. I trusted Christ when I was 17 years old, and I remember at that time there was no crisis that was going on in my life. And I remember all the friends I had. We were good people, but we'd get into trouble too. We came from good homes. But we get into trouble every now and then. You know how it is, high school years. And I remember the pressure that I felt from my peers when I started expressing the interest that I had in spiritual things, to the point that it became not just pressure, but ridicule. And you know, the world loves to ridicule people away from the things of Christ. But you see, Zacchaeus here wasn't going to let people block his way. So he climbed up into the sycamore tree. He had a curiosity. And that tells us another thing about Zacchaeus. That sometimes people meet the Lord out of curiosity. It's not necessarily that he read the scriptures, but he was just curious. And that led him into this encounter with Christ. Sometimes curiosity, and that doesn't sound like a good motive for coming to Christ, but curiosity puts us within earshot of the gospel and the life-changing message of Christ. There are many people that may walk through these doors who are looking at this building and saying, "Isn't that a lovely building? I'm going to check it out." And they're not necessarily in their mind thinking they're coming here to hear the gospel of Christ. I mean, I remember driving past this place years ago and looking at the lit candles. And I said, "Isn't that a beautiful place?" Before I came here. And so, you see, there are some people that will look and somebody say, "That's a beautiful building." And they're not thinking they're coming here for the gospel, but they walk through the door and they come in within earshot of the life-changing message of Christ. Don't forget, there are curiosity seekers who are not coming for the noblest of reasons. Some say, "Oh, I hear they have good music at this place." And they come in and hear the message and they get saved. So people come to Christ from all various avenues and from different angles, if I can say it that way. And here is Zacchaeus is curious. He wants to find out who Jesus is. And he's up in the tree and he's met with a crisis. And we find that in verse 5. as the Lord passed by, it says that Jesus came to that place. He looked up and saw him and said to him, Zacchaeus, make haste, come down, for today I must stay at your house. Here's the crisis of Zacchaeus. He had to make a decision. Will he stay up in the tree, hiding amongst the leafy, and it's a sycamore tree, very leafy, and you can easily hide up in a sycamore tree, and maybe Zacchaeus was hiding. He maybe didn't want to see, let his friends see him. Didn't want to have that them look at him up in the tree, expressing an interest in the Lord. But the Lord saw him. The Lord knew the needs of his heart. The Lord knew him by name. There's no indication here that Zacchaeus and Christ ever met before. God knows our name, and he knows our need. And he looked up into the tree, and he saw Zacchaeus, and he said, come down today, make haste, I must abide in your house today. That's the first and only indication in all of the Testament where Christ invited himself to someone's house. Did you know that? It's right here. And Luke is the only gospel writer who writes about this whole story of Zacchaeus. You won't find it in the other gospel accounts either. And Zacchaeus now is met with a crisis. What will he do? Will he stay in the tree, or will he come down? And I like to look at that word, or that phrase, come down, as meaning more than just literally coming down. I think Zacchaeus needed to humble himself. Our assembly has a prison ministry in the Ocean County jail system. And a number of people get saved in the jail system. It's tremendous. And they, as Bible courses, go in there and they hear the gospel. And we also have a team of people that goes in every 6 weeks. That's what we're allowed to do, go in every 6 weeks, and we go in there and preach the gospel. I remember I was speaking, this is years ago, speaking on this text. And it's an interesting, you know, if you've never been in jail before, looking at it from that standpoint, and we're visiting, that's when I say I went to jail. I was just visiting there. But here I am, and I'm speaking. Now, I was maybe 21, 22 years old, you know, a young guy right out of college. And I had all these rough-looking characters in front of me. And they're surrounding me, listening to me speak on the message. And it's this passage. And there's about 18 or 19 fellows in front of me. And as I'm preaching this message and explaining, more than just preaching, just explaining the passage to them, I noticed I got to this passage about coming down, Zacchaeus coming down, and all of a sudden I saw a number of faces in that little audience that was standing in front of me begin to smile and looking over my shoulder and above me. And I'm wondering, what's going on? This is a prison cell that we're in. And the prison cell over there is a two-story prison cell. And so I'm wondering what's going on. And I all of a sudden hear this booming voice. How do you know Jesus is Messiah? Real deep, booming voice. And I look around, and there is one of the very tallest fellows up on the balcony. It's a two-story pod, is what they call him. And he was a Muslim, didn't believe in Christ. And he was challenging me from his balcony that Christ wasn't a Messiah. And I didn't know what to do. But I was at this verse about Zacchaeus coming down. And all I said to him is, I said, why don't you come on down? He was proud and arrogant, defiant. I said, why don't you come on down and we'll talk about it after I'm done speaking. And to my surprise, he said, okay, just like that. And he came down. And knowing that this symbolist picture event was occurring right in the middle of text, I then seized that opportunity. And I said, Zacchaeus had to come down out of the tree. And not only that, he had to come down off his high horse. He was rich, he had friends, he had people that knew him, he was friends in high places, he had all these things going for him. And Christ called at that point. The question is, would he stay in his proud, prideful position, or will he come down and receive Christ's invitation? And the invitation of Christ goes out to each and every one. And the crisis that faces everyone who is outside of Christ is, will you trust the Lord Jesus as Savior and come down and humble yourself and say that you need Christ and that you need salvation and that you put pride aside and you say yes to Christ's invitation that is found all the way through the scriptures. Genesis chapter 7, he said it to Noah, come into the ark. Isaiah said to the children of Israel in Isaiah 1:18, come, let us reason together. And we have Isaiah 55, says, come to the waters. And Matthew 13, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden. And Revelation 22, the bride and the spirit say, come. All these invitations that Christ extends, God extends to people that are truly interested in having a changed life. And this was the same thing here. Make haste and come down, for today I must stay or abide in your house. And that was the invitation. And what did Zacchaeus do? Verses 6 through 8, we have a conversion of Zacchaeus. This is where I think Zacchaeus made a commitment to Christ. Because it says he did come down, verse 6, he made haste, he didn't delay, and he came down and he received him joyfully. And when anyone ever trusts Christ the Savior, the result will be joy. Receive him joyfully. Now, how we live the Christian life, that can cloud our joy afterwards, but trusting Christ as Savior, there is an element or a measure of joy that occurs. Now, don't forget, Zacchaeus is in the tree, he comes down, Christ encountered him and invited him to come down, but it wasn't just those two people. There was a whole crowd all around that were watching this spectacle going on. We know that because in verse 7 it says, when they all saw it, they all complained, saying, he has gone to be a guest with a man who is a sinner. You see, all the crowd was there. Maybe there were some Romans that were there. Maybe there were some religious rulers that were there, Pharisees, who didn't like the idea of Christ going to the home of a sinner like Zacchaeus. Maybe the common people, and certainly the common people were there in the crowd, and they certainly didn't like the idea of the Lord going to be with Zacchaeus, because he was the enemy. He was somebody on the working with the enemy. Zacchaeus would have been despised from a lot of different circles. And yet Christ was going to spend time with him. Zacchaeus came down. Now, there is a period of time between verses 7 and verse 8. Because it says that the people all complained, saying he's going to be a guest with a man who is a sinner. And then verse 8 says, Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, look, Lord, I have given half of my goods to the poor. If I've taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. That's after Christ spent time with Zacchaeus. There's a period of time between verses 7 and 8 where Christ spent time with Zacchaeus, an extended period of time. I wonder what that conversation was like. The record here in Scripture doesn't tell us what took place in terms of conversation. I can imagine what took place. Imagine after Zacchaeus received the Lord joyfully, that the Lord Jesus said, now Zacchaeus, there are some things that are not right in your life. How did you get all your money? Of course, the Lord knew all these things, but he likes to ask these questions anyway so that he knows that we know what the problem is, or better just that we understand the depth of our sin. And imagine the Lord had just the right question to tweak the conscience of Zacchaeus, to remind him of the different things that he had did wrong in the accumulation of his goods. And the end result of that, in verse 8, it says that Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, behold, Lord, or look, Lord, I give half of my goods to the poor. And if I've taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. Now, don't get the idea that that was the way of salvation. That was the result of salvation, the confirmation of Zacchaeus, that he was truly converted, was that he had a changed life and wanted to do things now to make amends for what he had done wrong. This was not the path of salvation. This was the evidence of salvation. Christ didn't say, now, in order to go to heaven, you have to give your goods to the poor and you have to do all these things and take it by false accusation. He didn't say that. This is a result of a changed life. This is why we said at the outset, when we sing that hymn, since Jesus came into my life, floods of joy o'er my soul, like the sea billows roll, since Jesus came into my life, a changed life. And so as a result of spending time with the Lord, Zacchaeus came back a changed individual. And when someone who is not a Christian investigates the claims of Christ sincerely and checks the biblical record and takes the time, and notice the emphasis, Zacchaeus stood. He's no longer running from here and there, from one activity to the next. When he took that time to spend time with the Lord, he came back a changed individual. Christ now was able to talk to him, and his heart was beginning to change, and his conduct was beginning to change. And voluntarily, he said, if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. If. He wasn't saying he did. He said, if I've done that, I am willing to go to the full extent of the law. Now, we don't have time to go into this, but Exodus chapter 22 gives the rules of restitution. And the only time that anybody would have to be required to pay back four times, as Zacchaeus was saying here, is if he stole an animal and then killed it. You had to restore it. If you stole it and then you handed it back before you were caught, all you had to do is repay it twice, twofold. In other words, Zacchaeus is going the full extent of the law. Because he wasn't being found out, and yet he's voluntarily saying, it's as if I've been found out, and I'm going to give four times as much when he only really was required to only give two times. You see, this is Zacchaeus going overboard to show that he's a changed person. He wants to make sure it's clear in other people's minds as well, because it's true in his heart and his life. You see, when a person becomes a Christian, there's a change inside, and it manifests itself on the outside. And that's what happened here with Zacchaeus. And so we have the conversion of Zacchaeus, but we also have the confirmation of Zacchaeus, the commitment of Zacchaeus. And these are the Lord's words of self, verse 9. Jesus said to him, today, salvation has come to this house because he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Yeah, he was the son of Abraham. From a national standpoint, son of Abraham would have been anybody of Israel. They could say that Abraham was our father from a national standpoint. But that's not what Christ was saying here. He was saying that Zacchaeus was like Abraham from a spiritual standpoint. Abraham demonstrated true faith in God in a dark and pagan world. And God commended him for that. God rewarded Abraham for that. And so from Abraham sprang the nation of Israel, the nation of Hebrews. And so Christ is saying, you're right in line with your father, Abraham, who demonstrated spiritual faith, true faith. Not that he was just a national progenitor of the nation. You see, and that's what it means to be a Christian. Following in line with the things that have gone before us, that's written here in Scriptures, demonstrating true faith, sincere, honest faith in the living God, through Christ. Not just good enough to say, well, we believe in God. God has said, the pathway to me is through my Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so that's why the claim goes out, what think ye of Christ? What will you do with this, the Christ? Everything revolves around him. It's not just to say God, and that's what we hear on the television, that's what we hear in the media. People giving testimonies and just saying, well, I thank God for these things. Well, that's nice that you do that, but the most important thing is Christ. And so here is Zacchaeus who shows and demonstrates true conversion. I remember hearing the story of the man who wrote one of the most popular hymns in our hymn book, Amazing Grace. Now, I like to look at Amazing Grace. You know how they have the pop charts, right? The one on the chart this week and number two on the chart. Well, to me, Amazing Grace is number one on the charts of all time, right? That's the way it seems. Everybody knows Amazing Grace. Even unsaved people know Amazing Grace. And the author of that was John Bunyan. And he was the one who, John Newton, that was the person. And he was a slave trader before he became a Christian, despised of his own crew members. And I read the biography one time of him, and this is going to sound really grotesque, but in a storm, he fell over. The captain of the ship, John Newton, fell overboard. And he was so despised by his own crew members that the way that they got back at him to save his life was to get him with a spear and get it into his leg and pull him back that way like a whale. That's the way they got him. Saved his life. But ever after that point, he walked with a limp because of what happened on that day. But in a storm, when it looked like all was lost, this very debauched, depraved individual, John Newton, turned to the Lord Jesus and trusted him as Savior. And of course, we sing his testimony a lot of times from our hymn books. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound, that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. You see, he changed and became a completely different individual. And that's what Christ specializes in, changing people from inside out. And here is Zacchaeus, who was a man who was on the other side of the tracks, somebody who was from a bad background. He had riches, but they didn't satisfy. He had friends, but they didn't help him. He had fame, he had fortune, he had everything that anybody in this world often will strive after. But he didn't have peace of heart. And Christ came into his life. It was a divine encounter, and Christ was speaking to Zacchaeus, and he called him to his house. And Zacchaeus came back a changed person. How about you? Are you here this morning? You're outside of Christ. You've heard spiritual terminology. You've read some of these stories. You've gone to Sunday school. And you know these, but you've never really made that personal decision in your life. Christ invites you as well to come down, not out of a sycamore tree, but in your own pride. To trust Christ as Savior, to put aside that which might or has hindered you in the past. Put all that aside. Christ accepts you just as you are. Zacchaeus wasn't given a list of requirements by Christ. He said, just come down. And he did. He made haste. He didn't delay. The hymn says, make not conscience make you linger, nor fitness fondly dream. All the fitness Christ requires is that you feel your need of him. And Zacchaeus felt his need for Christ, and he responded. He didn't make haste. He made haste, and he didn't delay. And he came down and received him joyfully. And that same joy, that same wonderful relationship can be yours if you're outside of Christ, if you trust him even today. And may God give you that interest and desire to do that even today. Shall we pray? Our Father and our God, we do ask that you would speak to each person's heart here in this auditorium this morning. We pray especially, Father, for those who may be visiting, for those who have been visiting for quite some time but have never put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. We ask that you'd speak to their conscience and speak to their heart and help them to see that it's a matter of putting aside pride and coming down and trusting Christ and receiving his invitation to be with him. And we know, Father, the joy that will result as that occurs. But we also pray, Father, for believers here in this room as well. And we pray that we would learn some important lessons from the life of Zacchaeus, how money does not satisfy, and how other things in life don't give a true peace and satisfaction that only Christ can give. We thank you for the lesson of the commitment that Zacchaeus made in his life to declare and show outwardly his commitment to the Lord Jesus. We pray that you speak to Christians and pray that each one of us might examine areas in our life that need to be also put aside so that our testimony, the light of our testimony for Christ, will shine brightly. Thank you again for this day. pray that you give us each a safe trip as we travel home. We thank you for your blessings that you give us each day. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and for his sake, amen.